If you're rocking to get up and it's not a rocking chair, it's time for the Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief, covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGNR. Andrew Herman is here, comes by to talk about business openings and closings for DNA Info. Andrew, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Steve.
So, you know, every time, often before the show, I will tweet out about the guests coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And it occurred to me today when I was tweeting out that you were bringing mead. It's like it's all food. We're always talking food, the two of us.
You know, it strikes me that this is the business lunch, but there's never anything to eat or drink here.
There is, usually, just not on Tuesdays. I don't know why that would be. All right, so I love this story. You got a guy on the south side, Greg Fisher's his name, who is operating what's described as the only meadery, the drink, in Illinois.
Right, so we have, you know, the craft beer craze, and we see these cider festivals popping up here and there, and maybe the next popular drink trend will be mead, which is basically booze made with honey.
Yeah, and so, you know, I like medieval stuff and read books or see movies, and they talk about they're drinking mead. And I had no idea until I read this really what it was. I thought it was like a different sort of beer.
Well, it dates back, as you say, to ancient times. They found evidence of this drink in what's now northern China back from 6500 B.C. But
wow.
Basically, you take the honey and you ferment it with the yeast, and you create an alcoholic drink. And Wild Blossom, as you say, in Beverly, they're at 10333 Southwest Western Avenue, and they make it there, and they make about 4,000 gallons a year. And the owner there, Greg Fisher, is looking to expand and create maybe 20,000 gallons a year.
Where does he sell it?
He sells it in liquor stores.
Really?
And evidently he's got some restaurants that also carry it, but I think it's a specialty drink, but it's gaining in popularity. There's 130% increase in popularity across the country over the last couple of years. So there is a demand for it out there. But, of course, you need a lot of honey if you're going to make 20,000 gallons.
We all need a lot of honey, Andrew.
That's right. Well, Greg has 80,000 bees.
Wow.
In 100 hives around the Chicago area.
Including one across the street, right?
Yeah, isn't that crazy? That's at the Marriott downtown on the roof, 540 North Michigan.
So here we are at 435 North Michigan Tribune Tower, and just across the street on the top of the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess I was thinking, where are the bees getting to the flowers up there? But, you know, up and down Michigan Avenue, all these places.
There's plenty of flowers and plants around, and he has them spread out. He also has it at the U.S. Steel Southworks, the Morton Arboretum. So there's a lot of bees out there, and he needs all of them because it takes quite a bit of honey to make mead.
So he's going to expand, and they hope to produce, what, 20,000 gallons maybe?
20,000 gallons.
All right, so here's the statistic I was looking for. Fisher estimates that some 2 million flowers are pollinated from the honey needed to produce just one bottle of mead. That's the birds and the bees right there, my friend. That's pretty amazing.
But as the story points out, you don't actually have to pay the bees, so it's basically all free labor.
Right. So have a glass of mead, tip one back, and enjoy this. Okay, so I love that story. And I love also reading in DNA Info things because I learned a lot that I didn't know. For example, at his new facility, he's going to be able to hopefully have a tasting shop and sell it. He can't now because he's on the wrong side of Western Avenue.
Saw that. Yeah, well, you know, when you have local liquor laws, they begin and end somewhere.
Right.
And so they begin and end on Western Avenue there.
All right, so let's move now up to Lincoln Park where there's this new bookstore, I guess, opening up. Kibitz Nests Books, Brews, and Blarney.
Right, and I think the Blarney is the main attraction here. It's at 2212 North Clybourne Avenue. As you say, in Lincoln Park, it sells coffee and wine, and it's kind of a gathering place. The unique part about this is that, A, there's no wireless there, which is pretty common now when you go into coffee shops, right?
Right.
You almost leave if it doesn't have wireless.
Why else would you go?
Laptops are not allowed, and smartphones are strongly discouraged, and the point being they want to facilitate conversation, in their words. They want people to not sit around looking into their devices, but to actually talk with one another.
Is this woman Ann Costner nuts? What is she thinking?
Well, she has a nonprofit group called Kibitz Nest, and it's been putting on poetry and art exhibits and education events, and it comes from the Yiddish word kibitz, which is to chat. And she thinks that we all need to maybe get back to talking with one another.
It is true. You know, we sit around and we look at our. I do it a lot, and maybe if we don't have the phones, we'll be able to actually look at each other.
Well, as somebody who works for DNA Info, a news website, I'm completely against this taking off at all.
Bad idea.
Right.
You know, I fell for, there was an NPR April Fool's joke a few years ago, I'm embarrassed to say this, that there was a slow internet cafes and the trend was taking over, that people wanted to slow down, decompress, so all of their connections were over modem.
Oh.
And, you know, for the story, they're playing the sounds of the modem, like, wow, this is really an interesting trend. And it just was an April Fool's joke.
Like the dial-up sound?
Right.
And you hear AOL thing?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. No, this has no Wi-Fi, so you can dial up all you want here and nothing's going to happen.
I like the backstory behind Ann, too, because she's the one who brought us Johnny's Ice House. East? West?
Right.
West,
east. Yeah. Right. It's the hockey place.
Johnny's Ice House East, yeah.
Yeah. So she is in the business world, and she's branching out into a different kind of area here. We'll see if it takes off. I thought it was kind of funny. She was appalled when she saw a two-year-old playing with an iPad one day.
Right. Well, what else are they going to do?
Right.
Books, Brews, and Blarney, 2212 North Clyburn. All right, buddy. Thanks. Nice to come in. Thanks for coming in.
All right.
I'll do that in English this time. We'll see you next week.
Okay.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thank you very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Not too shabby out there as well. A little cloudy, but they say there might be some showers around later today and then again tonight. Jillian Berman is on a phone line. She writes for MarketWatch.com and has been on the program from time to time. Always nice to talk to you, Jillian, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So where are you today?
I am in New York City.
Okay, so as I see it, Michael Heidemann, my producer, he called you, so we're using up our minutes for this. Maybe you could Venmo me $4 or $5.
I can ask the company to do that.
Sort of make it even. All right, you wrote this great piece in MarketWatch. I think it was up first yesterday or so. About why we're cheap, and the entry to it is this whole Venmo thing. So I just want to start with a little primer on Venmo, because my daughter's into it. I think she's got my wife a little hip to it, but it's still kind of over my head. Explain Venmo for me.
Yeah, so it's a payment app, and basically you can use it to pay your friends. You know, say you guys all go out for dinner, the bill comes, there's 10 people there, you can, you know, someone can just put down one credit card, and then you can find them on the app and send them the amount of money you owe. But the cheapness part comes in because you can also ask for money on Venmo, so you can ask your friend to pay you back for that dinner.
Okay, so let's go back. You and I go out to dinner, you pay on your credit card, and then I say, well, I owe you, you know, $50 for that. So I would go on Venmo, which then connects to my bank, and will deposit $50 in your bank account.
Yeah, so there are some middle steps, but that's basically how it works.
Okay,
yeah.
So sort of straightforward. I did not know until I read your story that you could actually request money via Venmo, too.
Yeah, so you can request money, and when you do that, it doesn't automatically pull the money. The person that you're requesting it from still has to decide to pay you, but you can, you know, if we go out to dinner and I put my credit card down and I decide that you should pay me for that, I could just send you a little note over Venmo asking for the money.
So there's a couple ways to look at this, right? I mean, it's a way to sort of diffuse that uncomfortable money situation at the table. But there's also sort of this psychological thing about who's picking up the tab for whom, and does this mean she likes me or not, and then I get a Venmo bill. Sort that out for me a little bit.
Yeah, so it helps diffuse the tension. And the other thing that it does is if somebody has a common name on Venmo, it avoids – they can charge a person to make sure that they get the money they're owed instead of the other John Smith. But, yeah, it definitely introduces sort of a discomfort, you know, into the transaction and into the situation by, you know, allowing somebody to ask for money when maybe if they had to do it, you know, out loud or in person, they might not do it.
Okay, and so there's also the idea that, you know, you might go home glowing a little bit. Oh, you know, she picked up the tab for me. This was great. This shows that maybe our relationship has a future. And then a day or two later, you get a request for money, and all of a sudden those hopes are dashed. It's sort of the 21st century equivalent of waiting for the phone to ring.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, I mean, to be fair, this is, and I use Venmo a lot, and a lot of my friends use Venmo. This isn't something that I think is super common, but, you know, it obviously Venmo does allow for the potential for that to happen, and, you know, it really can send a signal about the way that somebody feels about your, you know, your date or even just a friendly dinner.
All right, so this all begs the question, where does cheapness come from, or what makes people cheap? And that's why I wanted to talk to you. So you went into some research, and it looks like there's really no consensus about what creates or how cheapskates are formed.
Yeah, so it's hard to say. You know, researchers have looked at this question a lot, and, you know, you might think that people with cheap parents become cheap, but, you know, it's really hard to tell. Some people with cheap parents, you know, react. And,
right. I know
and
those.
Become,
I know the people. Yeah. Yeah, the parents are cheap, and so they spend money right and left, mostly their parents' money.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, it's really hard to say where it comes from. I mean, I think what all the experts agreed on is that, you know, something like Venmo can't really turn you into a stingy person.
Right.
What it does do is it, you know, maybe provides a cover for people who are already sort of stingy.
Right. Well, the old country buffet can't turn you into a glutton, but if you're staring at the buffet, you're going to eat more, right?
Yes, exactly, exactly.
And so the idea that they can't really figure out what makes someone stingy, I think you talked to one expert who said it's almost like sexuality, homosexuality or bisexual or straight, whatever. They can't quite figure out where that is, and it's sort of how stinginess comes about, too. It's hard to identify.
Yeah, right. So it's, you know, they've done some research looking at kids and parents, and it doesn't seem to be inherited. So, you know, I mean, there are a lot of things perhaps about your environment growing up that may influence the way that you spend, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you'll spend or save the same way that your parents do.
So I wonder if Venmo can then sort of bring the cheapness out of you, if there's another app eventually we'll find or create that will turn that around and foster some sort of generosity. I'm betting against that, Jillian.
Yeah, I would agree.
You know, while I've got you on the phone, can I ask you about another story you wrote? Speaking of generosity, John Oliver made a big deal out of buying people's debt, right? I mean, there are bundlers who will sell debt to buyers, collectors, or whatever, for just pennies on the dollar, and then those collectors go and try to get it back. So that's kind of what John Oliver did, right?
Right, yeah. He bought up a bunch of medical debt and then essentially forgave it.
I should say John Oliver's the host of the show on HBO. What's it called?
Last Week Tonight.
It's on Sunday nights. Okay,
yeah.
So it looks magnanimous. He buys all of this debt. These people have these medical bills. He buys it pennies on the dollar, and then he very publicly forgives it. All well and good. And then come to find out there's a bit of controversy about it.
So, I mean, you know, what he did, it was, as you said, all well and good. The controversy came from the fact that another group had done this before. So a group of activists who got to know each other during Occupy Wall Street a couple of years ago basically did the same thing. And they kind of pioneered this model of, you know, buying up debt and then forgiving it. And they did it with medical debt and a little bit of student debt as well. And, you know, they say that they advised the John Oliver show for several months on this project. And, you know, they were disappointed that that they weren't referenced in the piece. And, you know, and I think also that kind of the activist origins of what they were trying to do, the idea that, you know, debtors come together and stand up to financial institutions, that was sort of smoothed over in the John Oliver segment. So they were a little upset about that.
Okay. And so, but the idea that, so what John Oliver did was still pretty much widely accepted as a good thing. He just maybe didn't give credit where credit was due.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I think that, you know, they would not dispute that what he did was, you know, was a good thing to do.
We got a couple minutes left. I'm going to throw you a little bit of a curveball, too. I know you. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
You got your catcher's mitt on?
Yes, I hope so.
I know you write a lot about student debt, and we talked earlier this year about Bernie Sanders and his plan to help student debt. Today is the day of the last primaries. The long road ends in Washington, D.C. It's being overshadowed by so many other things today. But Sanders will go away. What does Hillary Clinton's student debt plan look like? And do you think it will be influenced at all by the success that Bernie Sanders had with his?
Yeah, so we'll see. I think that, you know, it's possible that she may try to change the messaging around it a little bit. So her student debt plan basically, you know, asks people to, it allows people to go to four-year college or university debt-free, which was different than Bernie Sanders, because Bernie Sanders was saying, you know, tuition-free. So any person, you know, even if they could afford college, could, you know, would be able to go to college for free. Hillary Clinton is saying, you know, if you can afford college, you're going to pay for some of it, but for people who can't afford it, we're going to make it so that you can go without debt. And that doesn't, you know, that's not as nice of a line as free college. So
it's not a bad line, though.
Yeah, it's not a bad line, but so I think that, you know, she'll probably have to change the messaging around it a little bit to, you know, to make it a little bit more appealing.
You know, it's interesting, though, the difference in them, because Sanders, while I think probably was pretty unrealistic, it was universal. Clinton is going to focus on need, and that is going to divide us a little bit, don't you think?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
You've got them and us and all of that.
Right. Yeah, that definitely happens. And I think the other thing about, you know, about Sanders' plan that appeals to people is the idea of making college free is very, you know, it's revolutionary. And
it's a big idea.
Yeah, and you know, and saying that, you know what, when it became necessary for to have a high school education to participate in the economy, we made high school free. So now you need a college education for the economy. We should make college free. So you know, people are attracted to that idea, and you know, and even though Hillary Clinton's plan would ideally make college more affordable for a lot of people, it doesn't quite have that revolutionary fervor.
Well, we'll see what happens. We didn't even ask about Donald Trump's. I don't know. Have you looked? Does he have one?
He's been pretty coy about it, although he has criticized. He's made comments criticizing the government for making money off of student loans, which is also a controversial opinion. So
okay. Maybe that'll be our next topic. Jillian Berman, thank you very much for joining me today. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me.
You bet. You can read a lot more from Jillian at MarketWatch.com. It's 12:46. We'll take a break and talk to the owner of Alinea about his new reservation system. He and others put it together. It's called Talk. That's just around the corner on the Business Lunch. Thank you, Kim. Well, it's lunchtime, isn't it? It's the Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. Sometimes if I'm feeling a little down, a little cheated, I finish the show and I walk back to our cafeteria here in the Tribune Tower, and I just pretend that it's Alinea. Never really works out that well. Nick Kokonis is on the phone line. The man behind Alinea. Welcome. Thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Are you at the restaurant today?
I'm actually not. I'm at our Talk offices at the moment.
Okay. Well, I want to talk to you about Talk, and maybe we'll have some time to talk about the restaurant a little bit later. But this thing, Talk, now I have had conversations about it on the air a couple of times. I really think that this is going to change the way we reserve restaurant space, and not just at spots like Alinea or, you know, other premier restaurants around the world, but just about anywhere. I just think this is where we're going. Tell me about Talk. How does it work?
Well, there's two points to it, really. There's the consumer side, the side that you see as a diner, and then there's, of course, the restaurant side. And so the consumer side is sort of the tip of that iceberg and everything you need behind it to run and offer bookings at your restaurant. But the consumer side needs to be as simple and frictionless as possible. So Talk is not an app. It works on the web. We sit on Google Cloud. And ideally, when you use Talk, you shouldn't even really know you're using it. You should just have this really simple, magical experience where you swipe a couple times on your phone or click a couple times on your mouse, and you've booked an experience at a restaurant. And I use the word experience purposefully because we're not just offering a table or a seat. You know, we like to say every restaurant serves food, but great restaurants create great experiences. And within a restaurant, you might have seating in a bar area, or you might have an a la carte menu in a dining room, but you also have private dining and special events they offer, and prefix, you know, tasting menus like some high-end restaurants do. So by mixing all those all together, consumers get a lot of choice in what they're buying, and they also know that when they arrive, their table will be waiting for them, because restaurants don't have to, you know, sort of overpromise and underdeliver like many do.
Is there any chance you read the novel last year called Kitchens of the Great Midwest?
I did not.
You know of it?
I don't.
Okay, well, look it up. It's written by a Minnesota guy, a interesting writer. I've lost his name in my head. But he writes about this girl who becomes a chef, and she travels around the world with these dinner experiences. And the idea is that you spend thousands of dollars to meet her in Tokyo in a farm field or at a dairy, and then she cooks for you, right? It's that sort of experience.
Sure,
but
sure.
It makes me think of what you're saying. So when people go to talk, though, is it a hybrid? I mean, I know you can get, I don't want to say just a table, but will there also be sort of events available there that aren't available elsewhere?
Yeah, and anything from ordinary reservations, you know, just booking a table like you would anywhere, all the way up to like chef tastings at Alinea. But also we have, like in Chicago right now, Saved by the Max is this Saved by the Bell pop-up that was so successful and sold out so quickly on Talk that they've just extended for another 2 months, and they put seats up for sale again today, and I think they've pretty much sold out their extended run already. And that's really enabled by this ability to offer different sorts of experiences right next to each other. And the other thing is that I think people now view phones as a bit invasive. You know, we hold these computers in our pockets.
Right.
And then when they suddenly ring and someone wants to talk to you, but it's only to confirm a reservation, that's kind of, you know, 20 years ago at this point. And so we always say, you know, swipe, not dial. And all of the email confirmations come automatically from the restaurants and all of that. And it's just less invasive to the consumer and much simpler to use.
Okay, so we're talking maybe about the aesthetic or esoteric of Talk. But very practically speaking, this is good for restaurants because to use Talk, you put, as a consumer, if I want to get a reservation at a restaurant on Talk, I put a deposit down. I put $20 down to get a reservation at Alinea. So then when I go there, the $20 is taken off my tab, but the fact is now I've got a little skin in the game as a consumer, and that protects the restaurants from people who just don't show up.
Yeah, correct. And the thing that's important to understand is that you know, I have a lot of people say, oh, it's very distrustful of the consumer, but the fact is, you know, about 8% of the people don't show up anytime they make a reservation. And the rest of it, the 92%, pay for that. And you pay for that literally in cash because of all the food waste and all those sorts of things. But you also pay for it in the experience of when you arrive at a restaurant. You know, we've all had that experience of looking at a harried hostess with two phones, one on each ear, and giving you the finger, you know, going, hold on. You're like, oh, wait, I have a reservation here. And then they go, I'll go sit at the bar for 45 minutes. And that's because restaurants kind of have to work like an airline a lot of the times, where they overbook the seats and promise you a table at 8, knowing full well they won't have it ready till 8:30.
Because they've got to overbook because they know there are going to be people who don't show up.
Sure.
The thing you didn't mention that I think also works for me is now I won't have to make a reservation at my second or third or fourth choice on a Saturday night, because each restaurant's good. You know, the people aren't going to be making reservations at four or five places and deciding at the last minute, eating up all those tables.
Correct. Yeah, and also it should be cheaper to dine at a Wednesday at 9:30. So we allow restaurants to you know, vary their pricing by day of the week, by time, however they wish. And by doing that, that means that you have an incentive. You know, if you don't care, hey, if I dine at 5 o'clock on a Wednesday or 9:30, it's actually cheaper at our restaurants and many of our partner restaurants on Talk to dine at sort of off hours. For me, that works great. Like, I don't mind dining late. I kind of like it, and I save some money.
Nick Kokonis is the man behind Alinea, and now one of the men behind Talk, one of the people behind Talk. You're at 80 restaurants around the world right now. Do you plan to take over the world?
we just one restaurant at a time. you know, we're just now out of sort of our beta and launching. We're already in 8 different countries and 33 cities, and we get, you know, sort of 8 to 10 inquiries a day from restaurants all over the world. You know, the last time innovation happened in the restaurant business was 1998, and a lot of the software is stuck back then. Right. And you know, so we've really tried to rethink it in a non-app kind of way, in a complete ecosystem for restaurants and consumers, and that's what we're rolling out.
And Nick, it was great to talk to you. I hope we can do it again.
Thanks very much. Appreciate
Nick Kokonos. Check it out. It's Talk on the Web. You're listening to The Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
It's round 3 of the Kevin Powell Dating Game,
where 2 lucky contestants vie for Kevin's heart.
Hello! Get on with it!
Or a free dinner.
Yay!
It's Father's Day this weekend, and the meatheads from Polina Market are back with grilling tips.
Rose back with Anna this afternoon at 3 on 720 WGN.
The best room in your house this summer isn't a room at all. It's your deck. From your cup of coffee when you wake to firing up the grill in the evening, your deck becomes the most lived-in space in your home. Make it everything you want it to be with a visit from DeckTech. DeckTech uses an oil-based sealer which penetrates deep into your deck's wood fibers, preventing your deck from cracking and splitting. Your deck will be restored to its natural beauty so you can start hosting summer parties and enjoy all that summer has to offer. So don't let your investment rot away. Call DeckTech today for a free estimate at 800-956-DECK. That's 800-956-3325. And make sure to mention this ad to receive a 10% discount. Plus, DeckTech's award-winning service is now even more affordable. Ask us about the new 0% financing options. DeckTech, they've got the tech to restore your deck. Call 800-956-DECK. That's 800-956-3325. Or visit RestoreYourDeck.com.
1-800-956-DECK.
Geico presents Sharing versus Oversharing. Way early this morning, Brad Higdon shared a major spoiler alert from everyone's favorite hit show, sad emojis to express his feelings about the plot twist, and a playlist he made to drown out his sorrows? Dude, oversharing alert. Brad, Geico has something worth sharing with those who haven't befriended you. Like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance at Geico.com. So stop moping about the post-apocalyptic world and start saving in the real world. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hey, I'm Paul, the guy who used to ask if you could hear me now on Verizon. Not anymore. I switched to Sprint. It's 2016 and every network is great. In fact, Sprint's reliability is now within 1% of Verizon's. Don't let a 1% difference cost you twice as much. Visit a Sprint store, sprint.com/network, or call 800-SPRINT-1.
Reliability claim based on third-party drive test average carrier features differ, subject to $30 activation fee, credit, and valid port. NC website for eligible plans. Limited time offer. Offer coverage not everywhere for all phones. Restrictions apply.
Hey, make your way to always legendary Springfield, Illinois, a place where families reconnect and create memories to last a lifetime. Explore the city of Abraham Lincoln, the city he knew and loved. And play to your heart's content as well. Enjoy all there is to see and do in Springfield, Illinois. Plan your trip now at visitspringfieldillinois.com. That's visitspringfieldillinois.com. Delight in a fun and fascinating journey in always legendary Springfield. You heard the beep, means it's 1 o'clock. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. The news is sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Here's Kim Gordon.
Partly sunny, 82 at O'Hare. We have an update on the shooting situation at a Walmart in Amarillo, Texas.
This is ABC News in New York with a special report. A active shooter situation underway in Amarillo, Texas at this time at a Walmart appears over. Amarillo PD tweeting out that a suspect has been shot by APD SWAT and is apparently dead. The hostages that were inside are safe. There's been no other confirmation of any other injuries at this time. Again, an active shooter situation in Amarillo, Texas at a Walmart is apparently over as a suspect has been shot by APD SWAT and is apparently dead. Again, no confirmation yet of any other injuries. I'm Mark Remillard. This has been a special report from ABC News.
In the wake of the Orlando massacre, President Obama is slamming a proposed temporary ban on Muslims entering the country by Donald Trump, calling the proposal un-American.
This is a country founded on basic freedoms, including freedom of religion. We don't have religious tests here.
The president says anti-Muslim rhetoric from Trump does not represent the America we want. He argues treating Muslim Americans differently won't make the U.S. safer. Shameful. That's what Hillary Clinton calls an accusation by Donald Trump that President Obama is on the side of terrorists. She says Republicans should seriously consider whether they will stand by Trump or the president. Police have carried out several hours of raids in a Paris suburb after one of its residents killed two police officers and claimed allegiance to ISIS. They emerged with a man whose head was covered in a piece of clothing to conceal his face. In light of the recent terror attacks in the U.S., including Orlando, McCormick wants to beef up security to protect thousands who attend events at the sprawling lakefront campus. The City Council Public Safety Committee today approved a plan to hire up to 135 or more off-duty officers. Illinois is missing out on millions of dollars in investment income because of the budget impasse. Treasurer Mike Frerich says part of his job is to invest money, but uncertainty about the budget is costing the state dearly to the tune of nearly $3 million a month.
The budget impasse has required my office to alter our preferred investment strategy. Instead of longer-term, higher-yielding investment tools, we've had to move money into shorter-term, less lucrative investments.
He says if the budget situation isn't resolved before the end of the year, the state could lose more than $31 million in earnings. A Chicago police officer has been stripped of his police powers after a video surfaced of the officer apparently kicking a man in the head. Loletta Lodge is the suspect's mother.
I figure like, okay, he's strong and all that. Why somebody else, you know, another police would come to the side and both of them held him down and handcuff him or tase him.
The Independent Police Review Authority is investigating. Your money, sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
Father's Day is June 19th. If you're having a hard time deciding what to get, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts where you'll find gift cards and hundreds of great Father's Day gifts. From tools to flashlights, O'Reilly Auto Parts has exactly what he wants. Get him something he'll use this Father's Day at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Are you addicted to drugs or alcohol? Even if you think you might have a problem, call this number right now for free information. 800-610-4421. That's 800-610-4421. By calling the Addiction Rehab Specialist, you're taking the first steps to recovery. Their advisors are ready to match you with a proven 5-star facility right now. The call is free and the information is free. 800-610-4421. The federal government says you can have up to 90 days off work for treatment. And if you have insurance through your employer, it could mean little to no cost to you. This free call is completely confidential. Seriously, pick up the phone and call us now. Our advisors are standing by. 800-610-4421. 800-610-4421. That's 800-610-4421. 800-610-4421. Addiction Rehab Specialist is a network of independent treatment centers and placement services nationwide.
Progressive brings you Flowetry with Flow.
Find coverage based on your budget today. Stay in control of your spending. Insurance and your wallet splendidly blending. Be so happy, pappy, you'll just want to dance. Found a policy that fits you like painted on pants.
Get insurance based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your money on WGN. The Dow's down 107 points. NASDAQ down 26. The S&P 500 down 11. WGN Sports. The White Sox are hoping they're finally heading back in the right direction.
It was a big one for the struggling Sox on Monday. A 12-inning marathon victory over a division opponent at home. And I'm eating hopes this will go a long way.
Oh, it's huge. I think we can hopefully, you know, hop on this wave and ride it a little bit.
Game 2 of 3 with the Tigers later on tonight. Miguel Gonzalez and Jordan Zimmermann, your mound opponents. The White Sox look to get back above 500, currently sitting at 32-32. Mike Jacobson, WGN Sports.
And the Cubs are in Washington to play the Nationals tonight. WGN Traffic, Jill Egan.
Heavy traffic on the Stevenson in both directions due to a car fire outbound near LaGrange. It's blocking the right lane, actually, right before LaGrange. So we've got an inbound delay that starts back at the tri-state, just a gapers delay there, and your outbound delay starts right around Central now on out to the scene where the right lane is blocked. Your travel time out to the tri-state is 30 minutes. Inbound 31 from the tri-state to Lakeshore Drive. Also heavier than it should be northbound on the tri-state because of construction. It was scheduled to be picked up around 1, but it looks like it's still there according to the backup I'm seeing. It's heavy from 290 all the way up to where that road work is blocking the right lane between Wolf Road and Irving Park Road. Again, just a late pickup there is the reason. Kennedy is heavy for no particular reason. Out to O'Hare, 33 minutes. Inbound 31 from O'Hare to downtown. The Eisenhower inbound is jammed up as well. 28 from Wolf Inn. Outbound, there was a solid Costner. They got that cleared. 19 out to Wolf. The Ryan inbound is still jammed into downtown. It's 40 minutes from 95th in. Outbound, some debris around 31st added to some delays there. 18 out to 95th Street. I'm Jill Egan, WGN Traffic Central.
The WGN Chicago Weather Center forecast, a chance of showers and thunderstorms today, a high near 73. Tonight, showers and storms likely, a low around 70. And tomorrow, a chance for showers and storms, a high near 86. O'Hare 85, Midway 84, Brookfield 84. The winds blowing from the south at 9 miles an hour. The barometer's falling along the lakefront, 71. Next news at 1:30 or when news breaks and at WGNradio.com. I'm Kim Gordon on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Kim, thank you so much. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the second half of our show. This is part two of the show we started earlier. We were off for a little while, and Steve Bertrand came in and did a Wintrust business lunch, and now we're back to finish up.
It's like the radio tag team.
That's what it is. That's essentially what it is.
Because Bertrand walked out of here and said, tag, you're it.
Right. And he wears some big, like, wrestling belt, and he walks around with his arms up in the air like he's just... I don't know what provokes him to do that. But I've learned to accept that he does that. Earlier, during part one of the show, Steve actually brought this up in the news, a story going on from the advertising world in England.
London's new Muslim mayor takes aim at sexy subway ads. Isn't it fun to write headlines for stories?
Yeah.
There's a very attractive woman in a yellow bikini.
Yeah.
Not an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot. It's just yellow.
Yeah.
Big, bold, yellow background, and it says, are you Beachbody ready? And the newly elected mayor of London has now called for a ban on public ads that show scantily clad women, saying that it's body shaming.
People took offense. They thought that this woman's body was an unrealistic portrayal of what most people's bodies are. And
most people, maybe, but...
Yeah, but people do exist who look that attractive, certainly.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're becoming way too politically correct, and now they're saying it's because of his Muslim roots, and that seems to be weighing more on the actual concerns about body shaming. That's the new thing that's going on.
Yeah, yeah. Now, keep in mind, in England, in some of the newspapers, not all, I want to say The Sun, and there might be one other... on a daily basis, when you read the newspaper on page 3, you are treated to a photograph of a topless woman. That's just standard fare no matter what's going on in the news.
Topless?
Yeah. On page 3 of The Sun every day, you get a very attractive woman who forgot to put her top on.
Well, that's stupid. That's not realistic. What girl is just going to be naked in front of
you? Sometimes they take her picture very early in the morning. She's ready.
Right. She's not quite ready.
Well, it's weird. I don't know if you guys have this. Oh, it was January's edition of Maxim magazine, the best page 3 girls of all time.
Mm. Any names you recognize?
I've never seen them. And how would I know their names? I'm not looking at their names.
I wondered if...
Nobody
what are you looking
is.
At?
Right.
What do you think?
I just wondered if any of them went on to any like big careers, being models.
Samantha
or,
Fox.
I think Martha Thatcher or Margaret
Thatcher.
Margaret Thatcher
was on there for a while.
Yeah,
on page 3.
Right.
I didn't know that.
Samantha Fox. Some of the models, notably Samantha Fox.
She became a singer, right? Samantha Fox for a little while. Didn't she? I thought she had a couple of songs out.
Yes. Oh, she's cute.
Yeah.
And then here's the other person. Katie Jordan Price.
Yep. There's Katie Jordan Price. She's done well for herself.
She's previously known as the pseudonym Jordan, an English television personality and glamour model.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Wow, I never knew about this Page Three thing.
Yeah, that's every day. Every day.
Well, do you get a subscription?
No, because the news is written in English. I can't read that. Who could read that? But I was saying earlier, there is a commercial that runs on American TV that I've seen more than once, and I don't know that I'm offended by it, but I guess I am. I'm kind of bothered by it. I'll explain. Maybe you've seen it. It's one of the most intense actors that our country has ever seen, Ray Liotta. We've met Ray Liotta.
Yeah.
We had him on at another station. He's a very, very intense man. And in these commercials, Ray Liotta goes to a bar somewhere, and he orders up a certain kind of tequila. I want to